Y'all ready? For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received 5 talents went and traded them with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2 also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. So he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents. Say, I've developed what you give me, Lord. That's right. The Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. And his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo there, I can't even say it. Lo there, thou hast that is thine. Say that 3 times real fast backwards. Okay. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have strawed. Thou oughtest therefore have put my money to the exchanger, sowed it, and then at my coming you should have received my own with interest or usury. Now take the talent from him, the one that he buried. Remember, you buried dead folks, but you plant seeds, you sow seeds. And give unto him that which you had 10 talents. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and everyone he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Stretch forth your hands this way. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, that you got this, Lord, this whole situation in this world right now. Things have gone crazy. Gas is going up. Not just gas at the gas station, but in fueling, how we're going to heat our houses and how we're going to take care of things is going up, 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 up. And the world seems to get crazier and crazier and crazier. And we know, God, that things are actually on the verge of falling apart. And God, we know, Lord, we have to have your hand. We have to be strong in the middle of all this, because if we're not, we'll let fear drive us. And when fear drives us, we will cut off our stewardship and bury it. And in the long run, that hurts. So I ask you right now, Lord, to help us, God, to see and to know and understand what you're doing with us and through us and your challenge today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. You be seated. On the way down, tell somebody, I hope you're here after what I'm here after, or you'll be here after I'm gone. Say it. Okay. Oop, I forgot. I get up here and get going and forget all about taking this down. Wait a minute. Let's go ahead and get the right stuff up here. Yeah, ain't God good? Let's see here. Here we go. I'm going to get it going now. Let's see here. Okay. Ready? From the old book. The old books. Y'all, I'm going to give you a heads up. A condemned prisoner was awaiting execution, was granted the usual privilege of choosing the dishes he wanted to eat for his last meal. He ordered a large mess of mushrooms. While the mushrooms and nothing else, inquired the guard. Well, replied the prisoner, I always wanted to try them, but I was afraid to eat them before. If you laugh really hard, I'll retire that one. Okay, that one is retired. All right, retired right up there. retire this joke. Do not use it again. Isn't God so good? Yeah. Okay. We're going to finish up on stewardship. And of course, just a few slides from last week in case you weren't here, plus it gives some continuity to the continuation of the scripture. So stewardship is more than money. If you're thinking I'm just talking about money right now, then you're barking up the wrong bank. Okay. All right. Look, stewardship is your how you invest your time, your talent, and your treasure. Now remember, every one of us has 24 hours in a day. It's not the actual time we don't have, it's how we manage what time we have. Remember that. When you tell people you don't have time, sometimes literally your schedule may be full, but it's how you manage your time. I remember when I was at Procter & Gamble, working engineer, and I carried back in the day, we had day timers. And I had a day timer in my pocket, and you picked off the corner of the every day. When you got to the end of the day, you pick it off so you could be the next one the next day. And I'd write down the stuff that I had to do, and I'd write stuff down. If it was important, I put one check. If it was very important, I put two checks. And if I need to get it done now, I put three checks. And you know, a lot of times because of the job that I did, and I was always handling a lot of fires. I don't mean literal fires and fires. I would take in the next day during our meetings when we're getting together, I would take over usually the 1 stars and the 2 stars and sometimes even the 3 stars and carry it over because I was so busy during the day putting out fires. Okay? So I understand in your life, if you got kids and you got a job and sometimes your job can be very demanding, I understand that. But all that being said, still let me tell you, every person in here has the same amount of time allotted to you, 24 hours. Okay? Now, remember, it's not the time that gets us, it's the management of the time. Okay? That's what gets us. So part of our stewardship is managing our time better. And I'm one to talk about this. ADHD folks, we really have a hard time managing our time because we're too busy chasing squirrels. Okay? I see a squirrel, I take off, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, what was I just doing? Oh, yeah, I was over here. No, I was over there. I look more like a pinball in a pinball machine a lot of times, trying to chase all the squirrels. Amen. And so time, managing your time. Talent. What can you do for God? You think all the time you have talent is what you can do up here with an instrument in your hand. No, sometimes your talent's baking. Sometimes your talent is ministering to people. Sometimes your talent is talking with folks. Sometimes your talent is going to the nursing home. You know, honestly, there's more to your talent than just strapping on a guitar. And number three, your treasure. The Bible says where your heart is, there's your treasure also. So that's just even the treasure itself. Although our treasure mostly involves our handling of resources, it is also not only handle our resources, but it is also stuff that we treasure in our heart. You got to think about it. Saying, this is some deep stuff. I mean, somebody say this is really deep. So if you're thinking it's all about money, you're wrong. But guess what? We're going to get there. I promise you. Okay? Right now, we're just doing we're doing stewardship, which involves money, but it's not all money. It's got a lot more what's going on. Okay. So watch this now. This is very important. Stewardship very much involves growing. I got to get up a little closer here so I can see this thing. Growing, God working in us and through us, serving, and that is allowing God to use us, and giving, managing God's resources that He gives to us. Okay? So now just a few from last week, and I do mean just a few, and it's going to be quick. When fear drives our stewardship, and remember, stewardship is the total package. Okay, time, talent, resources, all right? So it's very important. This is so, so important. The simple definition of stewardship is practicing, and it's so awesome. It's just practicing managing another's resources. That's it. That's it. When you go to work and you're responsible for certain things on your job, you are actually a steward over that job. Did you know that? Those guys that work at PCS, you know, you got certain departments you're over, you're a steward over that department. with your kids, you're a steward over those kids. You're a steward over your household, is managing what God has given you. So here's some stewardship facts, and then we're going to go right on in to the new stuff. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Y'all say God owns everything. Amen. So stewardship fact number one, God owns it all. Every smidget. He even owns the devil. I heard a gulp. He even owns the devil. Wow. So God owns everything. Stewardship fact number two, we don't own anything. They'll say nothing. Nada. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing about your time. Nothing about your talent. Nothing about your treasure do you own. It all, every bit, belongs to God. If I watched a movie with my wife, something about where people's treasure was not money. They were paid for in time, and they had a little thing on their arm, and they had all the time they had left in the earth. And when they got paid a couple of days of life. And then when they go use the telephone, they had to give up 2 minutes or give up 10 minutes, go to a restaurant, had to give up a month to eat. And so they were giving up their time. And I thought about it, I said, it's amazing we happen to see this movie, and I'm talking about stewardship. Because the same thing with us. Whatever you trade, what you're doing, whatever you trade, you actually could be, there's a lot of times you could be doing it in a better way or doing it in a godly way, and things would be different in your life. Amen? So we don't own anything. And again, somebody says, yeah, I paid my house. I got last payment. I've got the deed in my hand. Try not paying your taxes. That deed will be snatched out of your hand by the government. Amen? God owns everything. We own nothing. Stewardship fact number three, we're called to manage God's possessions, our time, our talent, and our resources. So here it is. Again, then we're going right into today. We're stewards of our time, our talent, and our treasure that the Master has entrusted us. Some of us He's given more than others. He said to some He gave five, to some He gave two, some He gave one. So look at it this way. If God has given you certain abilities, know this, no matter what the ability is God's given you, He not only has entrusted you with that ability, that time, that talent, that treasure, but He's also given you a challenge to handle what He's given you in a good way. So think about this. For God, you handle it for God. So one day, each of us, we talked about this last week, we'll talk about it again today. One day, each of us will be called to give an account for how we managed God's resources. Oh yeah, we're going to have eternal rewards, but the eternal rewards, which will be ours, are coming after we get through with how we handled His. Listen to that. How we handle His stuff down here determines what becomes our stuff up there. Okay? So now watch this. Get ready. Here it is. This is guy here. Remember, we talked about last week about the difference in planting and burying, or however it is my wife says it, burying. She says I'm talking about a fruit, burying, but that's possum track. Okay. We talked the difference in burying and sowing. Okay. You bury dead. You don't expect anything from something you bury. But you sow something, you expect it to come to life. So watch this. He let fear get in his heart. Because he only had one talent, he figured, I have the most to lose than the other guys. The other guy's got five. If he loses one, he's still got four. The other guy's got two. If he loses one, he's still got one. But I've got one. And if I lose it, game over. So I'll do the next best thing. Instead of using it for God's glory, I'll bury it so when He comes back, I can present it to Him. Now watch this. When He did all that, first, look, fear, when fear's driving your stewardship, it makes you cynical. Okay? Fear gave him a negative view on life. He said, I knew that you are a hard man. Sometimes we get the wrong idea about God. We look at how we've been done, how God has given us, what happens, and you know, in the crossfire while we're trying to do what God's given us, we got a crossfire going because Satan's trying to disrupt everything that God wants to do. I promise you, for everything God wants to do positive in your life, Satan is trying to disrupt it. Okay? He'll do his best to disrupt it. The difference is, Satan don't own everything, God does. Well, come on now. Satan doesn't own everything, God does. And God so loved you that He sent His Son, His only begotten Son, that He would die in our place. So, yeah, it might seem like He's a hard man, but guess what? What kind of hard man would send His Son to die in your place? I don't think that's a hard man. Okay? So now watch. The other two never saw the Master that way. They were positive about their relationship. They believed that they would be rewarded, and they shared in His joy because they sowed. They sowed. They didn't bury. They sowed. Let me ask you a question. As I'm talking today, I want you to very much listen, and I want you to do a personal inventory, not the person beside you, behind you, in front of you, but you do your own personal inventory, and I want you to ask yourself, am I burying what God has given me and hiding it? Or am I sowing it and letting God use it? Because if you bury it and hide it, God can't use it. It's in the ground. It's covered up. But if it's being sowed, then God can bless it. I don't know why God's not blessing me. I don't know why God's not blessing what I'm doing. I don't know why God's not blessing my wallet. Well, just let me ask you a question. When you open it up, do moths fly out? Y'all remember Jack Benny? He was on the Lucy show, and Lucy was going to go to his get some money from him, and they had to go down to the bottom, like 20 stories down below the ground, and there was alligators, and there was all kinds of things, and Jack Benny was under being tight. Actually, he was very loose, and he was very generous, but that was his persona. And they had to go through the crocodiles and everything to get there. And some of us are the same way with our time, our talent, and our treasure. God, you ain't getting this because this is all I got. If I sow it, I lose it. The problem is, if you don't sow it, you will lose it. The difference is, if you don't sow, you bury and you lose it, you lose eternally. Let that sink in for just a minute. Your time, your talent, your treasure. You lose eternally. Eternal rewards. I didn't say you were going to go to hell, but you're going to lose. All you got to do to go to heaven is to be born again. But now we're talking about, remember, the beam of judgment. Now we're talking about how God rewards us for how we handled His resources. Okay? So watch this. The problem was His attitude. Fear, did you know that fear is a way of negative thinking? When you're afraid, do you know that everything is taunted or tainted with fear and negative? It'll never work. It'll never work. See, He saw the Master as a mean man. And what happened was he let fear swallow him up. God is a loving Heavenly Father. God loves us. And He gives us things in order that we can be effective. Amen? You know, I remember when we moved to Benson and there was a pond. This man, a businessman, he owned two ponds. And nobody was allowed to fish in these ponds except for his family. And he was even particular about his family. It was just a couple people fished in the pond. And he had another pond that he had a deceased son that it was his pond. Nobody fished in that pond. Across the street was this other pond that a few of his family members. And he came up to me and DC and Daniel and said, guess what? He said, I'm offering y'all something. I want y'all to come fish in the pond. And we said, which one? He said, both of them. And so we were fishing in these ponds. You think I'm exaggerating? This is not a fish story. You heard about the one-armed fisherman? He caught a fish that big. Thank you, Eddie. That's an Eddie. I don't know if it's an Eddie original, but it's an Eddie. I've heard Eddie say it about at least 200 times. All right. Last Tuesday night. So here we go. So We were throwing back the 1 pounders and the 2 pounders, keeping the 4 pounders, the 5 pounders. It caught as high as almost a 10 pound, 9 pound and something else fish. But I remember when we first started fishing, DC and Daniel were losing. Y'all have heard me say this many, many times. The first month, I didn't even fish. I just stood around and watched them fish. I mean, I threw out, but I was watching them and trying to make sure they got it going on. And then, because those lures are real expensive, you know, they had lures and they were throwing out. And you know how ponds are. Ponds have some rough spots in them because it was not a man-made pond. And they would lose stuff, and they were constantly losing this stuff, and they were going, and they were just going, I can't fish anymore, Dave. I gotta quit because I'm losing what you gave me. DC, what did I tell y'all? What did I tell you? Take it a little louder. It's all right. What did I tell you? I said Walmart sells them every day. And they were breaking, lose one of those lures. And they, when they lost the lure, they would go, but Daddy, I'm so sorry. And I said, you know what? It's okay. And I'd buy extra lures. And I'd say, because you know why? Because I get a joy out of seeing you having a good time catching fish. And after a while, we all fished together. It was really, really awesome. But just, you know, that's how we act sometimes. We're scared to death we're going to break something and lose it. So we put the fishing pole right back in the car and stand by the edge of the pond and go, well, it sure would be nice to fish, but I'm scared I'm going to lose the lure, so I'm going to stand here and just look at the fish. Sounds crazy, don't it? Now, examine your own self. How many times have you done that? Well, I would, but I may lose it. So instead of sowing, I'm going to bury it. That way I have no loss. Not realizing that you're the biggest loss coming, or your biggest loss is coming when you stand before God. Okay? So, don't let fear get you cynical about stewardship. Number two. You know, and in this day and time we're living in, I rode by this morning, saw gas $2.69 a gallon, and I about fell out. I don't have false teeth, and I still had to hold my teeth in. And I called my dad in Greensboro, and he said, son, that's not the other thing going up. And he started naming off the stuff that had gone up in the last week, and I went, wow! And I thought about the things that's going, and the way the coronavirus is done, and the shutdowns, and all of this. And it's so easy to be afraid to let God use you. It's so easy to hide it, to store it up, because you're scared to death you're not going to have enough. And so that's what fear does. It drives complacency. Watch this. Fear made him dig a hole and hide what needed to be put to work. He said, I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, thou hast that is thine. In other words, I hid it, but here it is, God. You know what? I'd have much rather DC bring me that 5 pound bass than bring me a lure. Here it is, Dad. I didn't lose the lure today. Why not? Because I sat on the bank and I just watched. What are we going to eat? I can't eat a lure. It kind of sticks to you. You know what I'm saying? How many are going to stand before God with a lure in your hand and say, didn't lose it? And he goes, but where's the fish? Wow. Wow. You see, he thought, at least if I can bury it, at least if I have no loss, then I'll be okay. But I'm here to tell you, the Bible says he that seeks to save his life shall what? And he that loses his life shall what? That's right. So here we go. Watch this. You got to realize your life has purpose. See, God has given us, every last one of us, talents and resources. Maybe they're not the same. A lot of times that's the problem, because we don't think that they're the same. I mean, we get all mixed up. We're thinking because I can't do what DC can do, or I can't do what Steve can do, or I can't weld like Steve, or I can't play the guitar like DC and sing like him, and and I can't do this like this person, this, that I've got nothing. No. There's not a person on this earth that has nothing that they can do. Not a person. Not one. Everybody's got something. Everybody. You know, I remember Bethany had been a challenge at times. And I remember sometimes, some of the things we went through and some things we had to do, but I realized I saw her talent was with people. It's very powerful. She was so good with people. And now she's been dead going on 3 years, and I still have people asking about her and telling me how she made an impact, a positive impact in their life. You see, because she had that love for people, and she knew how to use it. And man, oh man, I was cool when I looked in the newspaper one day, and there was her face, and it said, what was her nickname? Smiley or whatever it was. Shiny, smiley, something at Walmart. They called her Giggles. Giggles. And it said, good morning from Giggles at Walmart. Yeah. Because she didn't have a whole bunch of talent, but the one thing she had was really awesome was she had a heart of gold. And she knew how to talk to people. And she made you feel important. And she used that to the utmost. And it was amazing. Okay? So again, realize your life has purpose. God has given you all talents. You know, my friend, I'm going to give you a challenge. It's time to dig up. Time to take your lure back out of the box. Okay? Y'all know, some of y'all in here going, he's been in my lure box, ain't he? He's been fishing in my backyard, hadn't he? Because he knows. No, I don't know. He knows. Okay? It's time to get the lures out. Start fishing again. You may lose them, but just like you tell DC and Daniel, it's okay, fellas. It's okay. But that was a $5 lure. Well, guess what? I'll go get another $5 lure. I didn't go back and just get Mickey Mouse and say, I'm going to use the really expensive lures. I'm going to give you the 2-cent ones. No, I gave them the same ones I used. We took care of, took turns, and we would trade them back and forth. Because I said, if you want to fish like a fisherman, you got to fish with the proper lure. And if you lose it, don't worry, I got your back. We'll keep on going. And we had a ball. We would catch fish all the time. It was so awesome. But it took me at least a month to get it out of their heads that I was going to get angry with them if they went fishing and had a loss. Some of you right here would do a whole lot more for God if you would quit being so concerned about having a loss. Stop it right there. But God, I don't. God, I don't. God, if I did, if I had what he had, if I had what she had, if I could, you know what? I'm glad you don't. Because you know why? Because we complete each other. There's no competition. There's no competition. It's completion. We complete each other. So watch. One thing you can do, you dig up your talent, dig up your gifts, dig up your goals, your dreams, your hobbies. Pass on what you've learned. You know, when people, especially people older than me or people I know more about a certain situation, and even people that I know that they don't have the training that I may have had, I still listen to them because you know why? Because sometimes experience can tell me a whole lot more than a book. Amen? So, fear drives complaint, and it's good stuff. When you get out there, I want you to get your fishing rod out. Go ahead and get it out. Okay? And I'm talking about metaphorically. Okay? Now, if I go out there and see everybody with their fishing rods out, y'all going to be catching each other, and it's going to be terrible. Okay. Fear makes us cop out. Excuses keep us from being productive. He blamed the character and personality of God or his master. And the cause for his lack of investing. You know what Abraham Lincoln said? Abraham Lincoln said, excuses are the nails that build a house of failure. Excuses, then I got to say it again. Excuses are the nails that build a house of failure. Yes, times are rough right now. And yes, there's a lot of people lost their jobs. And yes, things are going up. And yes, things aren't exactly like we would like it to be. But you know what? God is still on the throne. God is still in control. And now's the time. You know what? Even the smallest, dimmest light, the smallest, if you got a flashlight, you can barely see the light in it. When it's completely dark around you, that little thing, you can see it anywhere. Pull out your light. Let it shine because it's getting darker and darker and darker. Guess who's got the light? God's people. We got the light. It'll really, really shine. So now, I want you to note something about this guy. Note this. This third man agreed to take the money and invest it. He agreed to the same conditions that the five and the two had. They all agreed to the same conditions. But when fear set in, he went from following the conditions and sowing to hiding it out of fear of losing it. Wow. It's powerful stuff. Remember I told you, excuses are the nails that build a house of failure. Okay. And I think it was Abraham Lincoln. I'm not sure. Usually, you know, this is Benjamin Franklin. If you look it up, usually any quote comes from Benjamin Franklin or Abraham Lincoln. They had to be the busiest guys in the entire world. Every quote, Ben Franklin said, or Abraham Lincoln said, and I know that's true because I read a quote from Benjamin Franklin said, this came from Abraham Lincoln. Okay, get ready. Oh, Ben Franklin said, a man that's good at making excuses is seldom good at anything else. Woo! I'll do that one again too. A man that's good at making excuses is seldom good at anything else. So here's his excuses. Ready? I know this is good stuff. Excellent stuff. I know it might not be the normal stuff, but you know what? This is the word. It's powerful, and it'll make you grow. I promise you it'll make you grow. If it don't make you grow, then you need to check you. All right, ready? Here's his excuses. Ready? Let's see. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them he gave in that little bitty scripture. Number one, I didn't do it. It consists of denial and blaming others. He said, Lord, I knew. I didn't do it. You are. You're the problem, God. You're the problem. I didn't do this. You did. It's your bad attitude, God. Really? The man that gave you life? The God of all love. He did this. Number two, it wasn't so bad. You minimize your sins and mistakes. You know, I knew, look, it's your fault. I didn't do this. You did this, God, because of your attitude. And so what I did wasn't so bad. I went and hid it. At least I didn't lose it. Really? Because you're getting ready to. Matter of fact, God said, so you didn't lose it, huh? Well, how about give it to me? Guess what? He lost it anyway. And he went to the one with five who now had 10 and said, here, now you got 11. Wow. That's some powerful, powerful, powerful stuff. All right. Then, here's a good one. Yibbit. Yibbit the frog. You ever heard of Yibbit the frog? Oh, yeah, but he goes to church all the time. He's all hopping down the pews. He was in my house. My boys are coming up. He stayed in D.C. and Daniel's bedroom all the time. I talked to D.C. and he would talk before D.C. He would go, yeah, but. And I go, well, Daniel, he go, yeah, but. They bounced around. I mean, yeah, but the frog bounced all over my house. And then their mom would get on me and I go, yeah, but. That frog was everywhere, weren't it, D.C.? Yeah, but the frog. Not Kermit the Frog, yeah, but the frog. They ought to have him on the romper room now. Yeah, but the frog. All right. Yeah, but. An admission of guilt followed by an excuse. I couldn't help it. It wasn't really me. The excuse was I knew. Yeah, I knew that you were a hard man. Yeah, but. I did bad, God, but I knew that you were. Look, I had no idea. I really, that fear get in me, and I believed that what I did was not going to count for anything, that it was not going to work. I was just going to waste it. I was going to lose it. So instead of doing it, I took it and hid it. I kept it in my pocket. What if God give you a card and said, whatever you need to get the job done, charge it to me? What would you do? Would you go to Walmart and have a little heyday? Would you take it and put it in your pocket and not use it? Well, I didn't want to sign for God. I signed my car. Somebody said, "Saw it before." Put down Jehovah Jireh. It was just David Linton. Jehovah Jireh. I write so bad. Yeah, I do. I had the clerk of court call me in one day. She said, "Mr. Linton, can you please come today to the clerk of court's office?" I said, "What am I in here for?" She says, "You need to come make this wedding legal." I said, "It is legal. We had it right there at the church. We had 100 witnesses. It's legal. We all signed the document." She says, "I have no idea why that thing says at the bottom." She says, "So in order for them to be legal, you need to get in here." I said, "Ma'am, are you kidding me?" She says, "Do I sound like I'm kidding?" She said, "Look, you put Dad down there. Did her father marry her?" "No," she said, "some name, that guy named Dad and Lint. I said, "Can't you read? It says David Lint." She says, "Quit joking. Get in here and sign." No joke. And it's not bad. It's bad enough that it happened once. I'm really going to do it now. It actually happened. Okay. So, Yibbit. Y'all need to find Yibbit the frog and go frog gigging. Get rid of old Yibbit the frog. Then watch this one. "It's not my fault." We shift responsibility on somebody else, or, you know, or anything, anyone rather than owning up to our own responsibility. Yeah. This is a good stopping point for something right here. How many, please don't raise any hands and don't point. How many here has ever been in a one-way relationship where you give all, do all the giving, you do all the taking, you do all the, you're the one that has to understand the other person all the time. The other person absolutely does nothing, does not do anything for you, just keeps taking and keeps taking and keeps taking and keeps taking. And you've got to understand them, and you've got to figure them out, and you've got to be there for them, and you've got to break your neck to get to them. But when you need them, they're nowhere to be found. But when they need you, you need to be right there. That's a one-way relationship. Now, I'm not talking about anybody, bro. This is just some training I've had over the years, brother. I'm not talking about anybody. Please, look. Everybody, y'all start looking around. Quit looking around. Quit pointing. So look, I'm not talking about anybody. I'm telling you, this is just counseling. All right. So. If that person does that, because matter of fact, I am talking about somebody. Y'all ready? I'm going to let you point one time, but at my direction. At my direction, okay? Put your finger up. Ready? Get the point. Don't point at me. Point at yourself. Y'all all pointed at me. Don't point at me. Point at yourself. Because how many times has God been there for you? And he tried to understand. He didn't try. He knew you. Okay? Yeah, if you're doing this for somebody else, it's very, very hard. But sometimes we do nothing for him, but we expect him all the time. How do we break that? It's called stewardship. That's how you break it. Stewardship. If I'm a faithful steward, then I'm no longer a one-way relationship. God gives to me, I give back. I'm no longer a vessel or a vase. Now I'm in a conduit, and God gives, and I give back. God gives, and I give back. And he gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And the more God gives, the more I give back. Okay? So again, it's not my fault. You're a hard man. Okay? We're going to have a one-way relationship here because I can't handle it. All right? Now, here's the last one. I can't do it. We sell ourselves so short. We fear causes the mind just to shut. Instead of opportunities, we see obstacles. I was afraid. See, Lord, I knew I didn't do it. I went and hid. It wasn't so bad. I knew, yeah, but you're a hard man. It's not my fault. It's yours. And I can't do it. I was afraid. So I'm getting ready to shut her down. Y'all, DC, you get ready to come play the piano a little bit. Play something nice and pretty. Get ready to do it anyway. Use some of that stewardship over here, that talent. Okay, but let me use my stewardship of time before you get started. Ready? I just thought I would throw that out there, y'all. Y'all were just kind of looking. Okay. He's looking at his watch. Fear costs us our potential. So take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which has 10 talents. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and everyone, and he shall have abundance. But him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. So there's a price tag attached to fear. It causes us not to develop. This morning, every offering, guess what? When you hold this up, it's an opportunity for you to develop. Because you're sowing. When you get up in the morning or you get to work and all of a sudden you spend 30 seconds telling somebody, you know what, you did a good job yesterday. I'm really impressed. You know what? You just sowed and you're helping somebody else develop. Whatever you do, time, talent, treasure, when you start using it, you develop it. But if you don't, it deteriorates. In the end, this guy loses his initial investment. You see, and I'm getting ready to close. Fear diminishes us. Go ahead, DC. Fear diminishes us. Faith enriches us. If you've buried your talents because of fear, you need to dig them up. You say, well, am I too late? Let me ask you a question. Are you still breathing? If you're still breathing, then your hand, your proverbial hand, can still hold that shovel handle. If you're thinking it's too late, remember, as long as there's breath, it's never too late. Dig it up. Make an investment of your life, your time, your talent, your treasure, for God's glory. Get ready and y'all stand. Y'all go ahead and stand. The other guys, they reached out and they invested. They refused to be led by fear. They were led by faith. Right now, you're saying, how in the world can I do anything with all the way the economy is and the COVID and all of that? You know what? I hear you. Don't you think we all have to fight the same feelings? We're all human. We have to fight these feelings. We fight them. Many times, you start thinking about something needs to be done, and fear will make you do this. How many done that lately? But faith says, you know what? I'll do it anyway. Okay? They reached out and invested. And God responded. They gained down here on earth, but they were rewarded eternally. Wow. Fear has two meanings. Forget everything and run, or face everything and rise. Forget everything and run, and I've done it enough. I'm tired of it. Face everything and rise. The choice is yours. I don't like one-way relationships. I really don't. It's different if it's an infant, because an infant you expect to be a one-way relationship. Matter of fact, I don't mind. You know, you got to go, getchy goo, and you got to goo 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 goo, and part their lips to give them a pacifier. That's awesome. But when you got to part a mustache to do it. Forget everything and run. Face everything and rise. The choice is yours. Yes, we live in some rough times. And I'm telling you, I told you in 2020, don't look for 2021 to be some magic number and everything's going to get better. 2020 was the down payment. It's going to get even worse. But as it begins to get dark around us, we're going to shine even brighter. Because back before 2020, there was a lot of people that would never ask me certain things about God or even interested in God. But when 2020 came and things went crazy, people started asking about God. 2021, even more people are asking about God and how not to be afraid, how to stand, how to trust God. So I'm here to tell you, right now may seem the hardest for your talent, your time, your treasure. It may seem the hardest, but guess what? It's the best time it's ever been. The ground is so fertile for real Christianity. I'm not talking about some kind of prosperous mess where everything's roses and if you don't have faith, if you have faith, nothing ever happens. No. I'm talking about real faith. The kind where a man carries a cross up a hill with his back beaten to a pulp. That's the kind of faith I'm talking about. Now we can shine. How do you shine? Stewardship. You'll shine in your church. You'll shine in your family. You will shine in the community. You will shine on your job when you practice godly stewardship. I don't want to be like the one man that lost it all. I want to hear a welcome. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Every head bowed, every eye closed. God is so awesome. He's not up in heaven, walking the halls of heaven, trying to figure out the next move. You can see by the series you're doing, Rapture 3D, which will be another one coming up shortly, and talking about Revelation and the seven churches. Thyatira's next week. You can see that everything's being laid, the framework is being laid for the last days, the last hours, the last minutes. Don't be afraid. Shine. Don't turn the light off and say closed. Leave the open light on and shine. Shine, shine, shine. For a lack of not sounding corny, it's a whole lot easier to be a good steward when everything's going good. When everything's going bad and you're a good steward, you get God's attention. When Jesus was watching at the temple, watching them put in money, he saw that little widow woman. All those other guys were putting in all grades of stuff, and the little widow woman just put in two mites. No penny was worth. And he said she gave more than any of them. Why? Because the other guys were giving out their abundance. It's easy to give when you got. It's easy to give your time, talent, treasure when you got it. When you think you got it all together, everything's going good. But when things are going bad, she gave out of her necessity. And God said it will never be forgotten, and it hasn't. Shine, church, shine. With every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm asking a silly question, but I just want to see. I just need to see this. I really do. I can't explain it other than that I want to make sure that it's been effective. In these last two sermons on stewardship, number one, have you noticed some things about stewardship that you never actually noticed before? Just slip your hand up. We're not going to take names or anything. Yeah. Now, number two. Now it's getting harder. Have you noticed something about yourself in this stewardship message that could stand some tweaking? Just raise your hand. Nobody's looking. Number three. Are you willing to let God help you meet the challenge? Put that hand up. Don't repeat after me right now. Say, ready? Lord, help me to be a better steward of my time, my talent, my resources, treasures. I thank you, God, for what you've given me. Help me to not bury it, but to sow it. Help me to hear good, well done, my faithful steward. I thank you, God, for your helping me this day to develop and be a bright light in this dark world. I give myself 100% to you today. I rededicate my life. I rededicate my time. I rededicate my talent. I rededicate my treasure to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And God's church said, amen. Now come on back Tuesday night. We're having a good old time. Well, not necessarily always so good, but we're having a productive time. How about that? Some of the stuff you hear, you might not necessarily like, because we're saying this is really happening. This is really happening. Yeah, but we're getting places. We're doing things, and it's helping you be a better steward. Tuesday nights helps you. So does Sunday morning. Tuesday nights really get some nuts and bolts to help you be a better steward. And you get popcorn. I mean, it's like having a dinner and a show. Amen. You love God? Are you ready for Him to come back? All right, brother.
Father God, we just praise you and love you, Lord, and we thank you for the message today. Lord, help us to be a better steward with what you've given us. Lord, and we give you the honor and the praise and the glory for everything that you've done for us. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen and amen.